Hi, this is Cecil Hurt with the Tide Sports Picks Podcast, the last semi-regular season picks, championship game week picks for this week. And then we'll close it out with the bowl games. I don't know if we'll do every bowl game, but we'll at least do the major.
We can probably sneak a couple podcasts out of it.
Major. We might squeeze a couple of podcasts out of it. Last week, probably to the surprise of no one who listens to our podcast, or very few people, wasn't a good week for anybody.
No.
Under any circumstances. Hunter had the best week.
Five and five.
So we will let Hunter take over as we come to you from our spacious studios.
Well, actually, reverting back to the beginning, it's actually going to be Clint that actually takes over.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So if I had done that last week, things might have been entirely different.
It could have changed the entire landscape of college football.
Could have. It actually, we're blaming Cecil for that Alabama loss.
I think we all missed the Alabama game.
Yes. We did.
Everybody picked Alabama. Credit to Auburn for covering. And that game's been discussed. I don't know if either of y'all have a point to make. I did not hear Gary Danielson. Apparently he was an idiot. Which I didn't have to hear Gary Danielson to know that he's an idiot. I mean, it's an embarrassment. The SEC needs to do something at this point. The guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
And they need to get him off the air.
See, so I need you to tell us how you really feel about Gary.
If Gary wants to call me, I'm pretty easy to find on Twitter, and I'll tell him he's an idiot.
Well, the big problem that I had with that, we were talking about before we started recording, was, you know, he was just completely after Alabama's offense early on in that football game for not pushing the ball downfield, and you could just tell by the types of runs that they were calling, with the fact they were getting the ball out to the receivers on short routes, you know, screens, things like that. They were trying to get Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson and some of those guys running sideline to sideline, wear them down.
Which is exactly also, what happened.
It worked to perfection. Also, when easy passes for Mac to get him kind of going in the game. And
right.
My thing with Gary is, like, it seems like he goes into games with his talking points ready.
I think you're right.
He's not going to let what happens in the game actually affect that. He's going to have his talking points, and this is my biggest thing on him, is he harps.
Yep.
He finds one thing, and he just talks about it nonstop and won't let it go, even if there's evidence to the contrary.
Yep, I completely agree. And so that was right out the gate. I was frustrated with some of the things that he was saying.
Again, I didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it either.
NFL.
I was there.
Yeah.
Respect to all that. But if he can't figure something that basic out,
right.
he's not a good analyst.
Well,
shouldn't call anybody an idiot. He's not a good analyst.
But it worked, though. Exactly. Like what
to
we were
perfection.
Doing.
I mean, you got Derrick Brown over there cramping in the second quarter of the game, and it just so happened that between halftime, with the fact that Alabama's defense kind of couldn't get off the field at times, allowed Auburn to have some long, sustaining drives, it allowed their defense to kind of get their win back. And then down the stretch, Derrick Brown ended up being a pretty impactful player at times, but they all were dealing with fatigue.
Well, also, it probably didn't hurt that they got an extra 5 minutes at halftime because of the review that happened. I mean, that was an extra 5 minutes, so they didn't have to play.
Yeah, what were you thinking during that?
There's no way they can get a snap off in 1 second. That's just not – so it doesn't matter if they put one back on because it's not a dead ball. So, therefore, we're good. They can't do anything, and then it happens. And I was absolutely fuming. I don't like really watching the bands anyway, but I was up in the concourse just walking around just pissed the hell off.
Yeah.
How does a replay booth that can't hear the whistle overrule?
Right.
Overturn the call on the field?
Yeah.
How often do you see overturns?
Yeah.
Right.
They can't hear the whistle. It's not when, the play doesn't end when his knee touches the ground. It's not time to that. You know, first of all, if we're going to do it that way, let's get a basketball clock out there.
Right.
Get the tenths up and see how many tenths we've got.
Right. And you can't get a snap off at 0.7 or whatever.
You can't get a snap off, but by the review, you're giving them a timeout.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You gifted them a timeout.
And letting them get over the ball.
Yeah.
Which is.
It also.
Can't happen.
Did it not seem like it took forever for that ref to wind up to get the clock going again? Now, granted, they would have had just the same regardless. I mean, they're already lined up ready for it anyways. But someone did point out on Twitter, and just, you know, to be fair, because I didn't think back to this, but I thought it was a good point. Auburn LSU a couple of years ago, I don't remember the exact year, but there was a late touchdown from LSU. I think they were up 19-18.
2016, I believe.
Yeah, and then they ended up taking it off because there was 1 second on the clock. you can't snap and spike a ball, but that also proved that you can't just snap the ball in 1 second either. So right. It was the same kind of scenario, and they ended up pulling that touchdown off, and Auburn won that game too.
Wasn't a well-officiated game. Alabama had plenty of chances to make
they
plays
did.
That could have won the game regardless of the officiating.
And that's the part. Now, granted, I will say when it first happened, my first thought, or one of my first thoughts was, I really hope this doesn't come down to a field goal game.
It would. Connor and I talked about that. We do enough basketball that a guy banks in a 40-foot three-pointer.
You know it's going to.
With 1 second on the shot clock, that's going to get you every time.
Absolutely.
I thought back to last year's Texas A&M basketball game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know. And I also thought that I was watching it live. I didn't realize how close they were for the field goal. And I was like, just put Waddle back there. Just a troll, if anything. Like, just see if we can get a kick six out of that.
Well, that don't know if it's epic.
And credit to Carlson for, he knocked it through from 52. So
yeah.
Credit.
He did. Yeah.
And of course, he was 4-4 from 40
well,
plus.
That's just good
that's
play.
It. And that, well, it's just incredible that nobody misses field goals against
it. It is amazing, but,
I'm sure his granddad was pissed off. Old man
Carlson.
He
probably was. He probably would have settled for 3-for-4.
Yeah.
That's fine. But that's all. Alabama's got things they need to correct, and that's where they need to focus. And we'll be picking their bowl game. But first, we're going to pick these championship games.
Yes, which just so happened it worked out pretty nicely for us. There's 10 of these on the slate. I didn't have to go through and pick and choose which games we're going to pick. There's going to be a few of these that...
Including the state of Alabama's only championship game representative, your UAB Blazers.
Going against someone reporting... I don't know if y'all heard this. Brett was telling me during the last recording he saw somewhere on Twitter. I've not seen who posted it. I have no clue. But Lane Kiffin.
No, I think it's possible, but they're still interviewing. I think they're interviewing Matt Campbell today.
Okay.
I'm not going to believe Lane's doing anything until I read it on Lane's Twitter.
Right.
He's going to break whatever Lane's news.
No, I think I saw that Dan Wilkin reported they did meet with Kiffin yesterday.
They didn't meet with him.
Okay. And so they're vetting him pretty hard.
As they should.
Yeah.
Lane's a viable candidate.
Yeah. I really feel like there's a lot of schools that in the SEC that should be going after Lane. I've continued to say that, Auburn being one of them. But
I was a little surprised at Matt Luke getting fired.
I was too.
I was in that they did it, that Keith Carter did it in his second week on the job. But if you look at it, they were probably going to end up having to do it next year. Do you think you're going to get better with Matt Luke?
Here's the thing. If they ride up and get Mike Norvell, come down an hour.
Makes sense.
From Memphis, and I'll say, fine, that's a good plan. I can see wanting to go forward with Mike Norvell. You're a new AD. If you've got the money to do it, that's fine. But I thought it sort of gives me the sense that Matt Luke was always put in there to be a caretaker.
He was always a placeholder.
And to get a big payday at the end of it.
Yeah.
But there are also ways to handle it if he was sitting in a recruit's home.
It sounds like they didn't handle it well. He finds out in a recruit's home. But
it most certainly was not a situation.
That may well have been the plan, but he needed to be in on the plan.
Yeah, what you can't do is you can't look at the results for Ole Miss this season and say that people expected any different, and that's why he got fired.
Right. I think it's just they knew that he was not the guy going forward.
Right.
Why put it off a year? Let's go ahead and try to hire Mike Norvell or Bill Clark.
Right, and he was always going to get the big buyout at the end.
Right.
And shake
good
his
for
hand.
Him,
He's an Ole Miss guy.
Right.
Ole Miss family. And I just don't.
You could have handled it.
And I guess recruited well enough, not top 10 in the country, but well enough last year. They had a lot of freshmen play.
They got
I'll be interested. John Rhys Plumlee, that's an interesting.
Well, and from a roster perspective, I think that Ole Miss is in a lot better shape than Arkansas is.
Oh,
you're walking into a much better talent situation.
Arkansas is just a complete.
Yeah.
I mean, Lane's got his work cut out if he ended up there.
And I don't, because Alabama didn't play Missouri this year, I'm not as familiar with Missouri's roster. But they got a lot of rebuilding to do, it seems like to me. This was kind of going to be their year.
Right.
People were picking them to win the East.
They had Kelly Bryant in there.
They got pummeled by injuries, too, though.
They did. They lost their best linebacker.
That's Cole Garrett.
I don't think Bryant was 100%.
He missed some games, right.
Year, so. But anyway, it'll be interesting in the SEC, but we only have two SEC teams to worry about this weekend.
And we will, I'm sure, be talking quite a bit about that one in comparison. I'll start off with some of these lower games, less known, I guess you'd say. just kind of get them knocked out.
Non-Power 5 conference games.
There you go. I like it. And some of these, I have to be honest, I'm not going to know just an absolute ton about, but we're going to make picks nonetheless.
I'm going to act like I know what I'm talking about.
I'm going to absolutely bluff my way through it.
Fake it until you make it. All right, so first game on the slate, Miami of Ohio is at Central Michigan. Well, they're taking on Central Michigan.
I think it's actually Michigan.
Okay, I don't know which of these bowl games.
Some of these actually are at home sides.
Yeah, okay. I would say all the non-P5s are.
Gotcha.
And
well, that's news to me.
Yeah.
So
I don't know of anybody that's playing neutral. So that is at Central Michigan. Jim McElwain.
He's actually done a really good job
there. Yeah,
it's they're a 6.5 point favorite, by the way. But considering with where they were at, I mean, whew, sometimes just a school and a guy. I don't think McElwain and Florida were the right fit.
It's a terrible fit.
Yeah, I mean, AD, shout out to AD Michael Alford and.
Oh yeah, I forgot that Michael Alford's there now.
He's the AD, hired Mac, and been a great hire for him. And I'm. Whether I know anything about him or not, I'm certainly picking Central Michigan.
Agreed. I think that's going to be one. I mean, unless you just want to go.
I'm going Lone Soldier here. I'm going Miami of Ohio.
There you go.
Taking the points.
I love that.
Taking the points. You know, it opened at 4.5 and it's moved to 6.5.
Even better.
Hunter's getting value here.
A lot of value. I'm all about value in my picks.
Fair enough.
I'm going to put a few units on this.
Yeah.
I don't. Looking back, I went 3-7 last week, which was by far the worst. I don't think I took enough dogs. Unfortunate. I picked the wrong dogs.
Something.
Yeah. Okay, so next game on the list. Louisiana Lafayette is taking on top 25 team in Appalachian State.
Billy Napier. What's the line on this one?
6 points. Less than a touchdown for Appalachian State.
Yeah.
You know, plus six. App State's good. It's up in the mountains. It may be snowing up in.
I'm taking App State at six. If it was seven, I might change that. But I'm going App State.
All right, I'll go the other way then.
Okay.
To have some.
And I'm going
on the
with
game.
Hunter.
I'm going.
Appalachian State.
I'm plus six.
Which is
ULL.
Yeah, that's. Okay.
Be interested to see if Billy's name starts to come up.
I would think it would.
Maybe or maybe not, but let's say. Ole Miss does hire the Memphis coach. It's just a hypothetical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Billy might be a guy you look at Memphis, which would be a step up from ULL. Although I think he likes it in Lafayette.
Right.
But he's a guy that's going to move up maybe this year, maybe next year.
Right. Next game on the list is going to be Hawaii is taking on Boise State, and Boise is a 14-point favorite. It started off at 15.5. It's dropped.
Yeah, that's why I'm taking Boise, too.
I agreed. I think the 14 is that's a sweet spot. Yeah.
Nice year for the Rainbows, though.
Right.
Nine and four, that's a solid season for them. But Boise, I think, on the blue field in the freezing cold.
Right.
And again, we're talking about value here. They opened at 15.5. Now they're going to give it to me at 14.
And if it was 14.5, I might go the other way. But 14 is just that sweet spot.
14, I'm going to get that push. And I'm taking Boise.
Agreed.
So we're all Boise, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Next game on the list.
A potential opponent for Alabama in a bowl game.
Could be one of several. Mm-hmm. One of several. That'll depend a little bit on Cincinnati-Memphis,
right.
I think.
Which is going to be the next game on the list. Yeah. And these two teams have never played each other before. Okay. This is the first time ever. They played last week.
I didn't get that. I was like, what? Shows you how much I pay attention when I'm doing this podcast. I didn't remember they played last week.
And Memphis is opening as a 10-point favorite.
I'm taking Cincinnati.
I took Cincinnati last time.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm taking Cincinnati plus the 10.
Do we know what... No, I guess we don't know how far Cincinnati's fallen. I do find it funny. Literally, they played last week. Memphis won by 10. It's a 10-point line. Easy for them, for Vegas.
Yeah. I think they're going to improve this week.
They can do it. They're going to have
a good week of practice.
They know what to look
and
for.
And they can get within 9.
I'm going with Cincinnati.
You are both. And you know what? The way that game was playing out, I'm going to go ahead and stick with Memphis, though. I think that you guys are getting the better end of that, but I haven't gone solo on any of these picks yet. So I'll go ahead and take Memphis on that one, and we'll see how that plays out. All right, next game on the list. Familiar team, in-state, only team from the state of Alabama taking part in championship week. UAB is taking on Lane Kiffin's Florida Atlantic. And let's see, Florida Atlantic is a 7.5-point favorite.
I'm going with Kiffin.
I'm going with Lane. Wonder what Bill Clark's going to be.
What's he thinking about this week?
I think this is the window for him to move again.
I think both Kiffin
jobs
and
jobs are open. There'll be other jobs open. So
I think Clark and Kiffin both are coaching at different places next year.
So here's my thing. So yeah, the coaches Bill Clark might be distracted this week because of other jobs. Lane Kiffin might be distracted because of other jobs. Lane Kiffin's always distracted, so this isn't going to really affect him.
That's also actually a really good point.
Shout out to whoever from Al.com gets to go down to.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good
gets
trip.
To go down to Boca for a week.
Yeah,
hope it's
paid for a trip, man.
That'd be fine.
Right.
Rough week. Okay, so you guys are both going Florida Atlantic. I was on the fence about this one. Looking at it, I think I'll go ahead and take UAB.
All right, the hook. He likes
that
hook.
And that's exactly, if it was at seven.
He likes that hook.
But, you know, we'll have to see how that plays out. All right, next game on the list, and these are where we start getting into some of the better ones.
Into the Power Five.
Actually,
they may not be better games.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of these lines especially.
Yeah.
What we're actually going to do is take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get the rest of these five games. For the Power 5 conferences, we appreciate you guys listening in. This has been the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles.
Folks, welcome back to the Bama Beat Podcast, sponsored by Zaxby's and Wickles. A quick word for Wickles, our semi-new sponsor here on the Bama Beat Podcast. I feel like most people are familiar with Wickles. They're pickles, they're pickled okra, they're different styles of relishes, they're red relish or green relish, just a ton of great, great products. You can find them at your Piggly Wiggly, Walmart, ton of grocery stores around the Southeast and really all over the country. For more information, check out www.wicklespickles.com. Wickles Pickles.
Alrighty, so we'll dive right back into these college football games. We're now going to be picking the Power 5 championship games, which should make things pretty interesting. We'll start with one.
There's a Friday nighter.
Is that the Pac-12?
Yeah. Yes, of course, gives us a chance to kind of see them on a national stage. The game, I think, it's at 7 p.m.
This game should, I don't care, this game should start at like 9:30. It should be Pac-12 after dark, I don't care.
Seven Central.
7 Central, yeah, so 8. Okay.
I know. Why don't they kick this thing off at 7 San Francisco?
Today? Exactly. Well, the thing is, so where's it being played? At
Are they in Las Vegas this year?
They might have. I don't know. It shouldn't be in Vegas yet. But like, they're starting 5:00 local time. Like they, you know, complain about crowds for this game. Well, yeah, you're starting at 5 local.
Right. Which is a good point, actually.
And like, none of these teams can just drive to the destination. They have to fly. So you have to. It's like another bowl game.
Yeah. And. It's on a Friday.
And they were playing it at home venues for a while. I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's ask people to take off work on a Friday compared to it being a Saturday game. 5:00 would probably be fine on a Saturday. So, Oregon is taking on Utah, and Utah is a 6.5-point favorite. It started off at 4.5, so it's climbed quite a bit.
I've got Oregon. I think Oregon might win this game straight up.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think this is a really, really hard pick. It opened at Utah -4.5. It's gone to 6.5.
I think I'm sticking with Utah, though.
It's in the league's advantage for Utah to win at this point.
Right.
Oregon winning just opens the door for another conference. Somebody, probably the Big 12. If Oregon wins, it's probably the Big 12 win.
Right.
Unless Georgia.
It's not a 2-loss Alabama, you don't think?
No, I don't. You can't make an argument for that.
Yeah, I'm just
that's
kidding.
You know.
Got to clarify that I was kidding.
So the game, just so we don't sound ignorant, is in Santa Clara.
Okay. I thought they'd gone away from the side.
All of Hunter's happy memories in Santa Clara will be revised. But, yeah, they're in Santa Clara. So, I am going to take Utah and lay the 6.5.
I think I'm going to as well. All right, so next game on the list is going to be the Big 12 championship game, speaking of which. Baylor is getting a rematch with Oklahoma, and the Sooners are 8-point favorites this go around against.
And that's in Dallas, it's right? Jerry World, Dallas metropolitan area.
I'm going to go with Oklahoma here.
I'm going with Baylor and the points.
I wish it was 7, but
down. You know, the Vegas early birds agree as it's been bet down from 9.5 to 8, and we're playing it at Oklahoma -8, and I'm taking Baylor in the points.
Okay, I could just see the Oklahoma. I know
it's good that we're
game
it's
over.
Good that we're different.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to. I'm just wondering. Can Baylor recapture the beginning of that game against Oklahoma the first go-around? I mean, they looked – I was watching that game. That's one of the few times I've got a chance to really get a good eye on Baylor. And, man, you're talking about the tale of two halves for them. It's really going to depend. I think I'm going to go Baylor as well. That's just a lot of points for me. Granted, I took Oklahoma State last week. Oklahoma looked good. They're, I think, maybe starting to figure out that they're going to have to make some moves here right here at the end. I think Alabama helps them. But I think I'm still going to go Baylor and take the 8 points. All right, next game on the list. Wisconsin is taking on Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. And the Buckeyes are 16-point favorites. Some lines got them at 16.5, but
it's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points.
But I'm taking Ohio
State. I'm still going to Ohio State, too.
I'm going to Ohio State as well. This is what I was kind of hoping that I could finagle you guys into taking Wisconsin. But, yeah, I like Ohio State in this situation. What do you guys think about Wisconsin?
They just can't stop them. Like, they can't stop Ohio State.
Were you guys surprised at what Wisconsin did to Minnesota?
No.
Okay.
Because I never thought Minnesota was good.
Alabama's in the same boat as Minnesota, so I'm not being critical here. I'm just saying I've known for 2 weeks that I was reading 500,000 wasted words about Minnesota being a playoff contender.
Right.
They were never a playoff contender, never going to be a playoff contender. They've had a nice year, good for them. I was not surprised.
Right.
They kind of caught lightning in a bottle against Penn State, and great for them. I mean, it was a huge win, but – yeah, I just don't think that program is near a playoff contention.
I agree.
Caliber program right now, yet. Who knows what the future holds. So we're all going to Ohio State there.
I'll put it this way. I don't know what may be the Alabama JV team
our second
will be playing in the bowl game.
Yeah.
But if it's the Citrus Bowl against Minnesota, fine.
Yeah, that would be a shellacking like the 2011 Capital One Bowl.
That's fine.
Man, shout out to Michigan State for that.
Yeah.
Another Big Ten team. All right, next one. This is the line on this. They're expecting a really close game. Virginia is a 29-point dog to Clemson in the ACC championship. Started off at 24.5. It's climbed 4.5 points.
You know, folks didn't think that little old Clemson could be undefeated this year. Nobody thought.
Nobody who had Clemson number one in the preseason, in the first poll, believed that they would be here today. First of all, this game opened at 24.5, and people just can't bet it hard enough,
right,
fast enough, because they understand how much this would mean to poor little Dabo.
Right.
And how people have just neglected them, and how they've had to struggle and scratch and claw against Georgia Tech and Louisville. Just teams that nobody, who would expect Clemson to have beaten those teams?
Right.
Who would ever think that Clemson could beat Wofford?
Did you hear his comments after that game where he's talking about how, like,
which game?
They want Clemson. Who are they, first of all? They just want Clemson out. Dabo, nobody wants you out.
He's gaslighting.
What were the comments? I missed this.
It was something about how, like, people thought they might be in the playoff, but nobody thought they'd be undefeated. Like, everybody thought they were going to be undefeated.
Who looked at that schedule and said, oh, they'll lose this game?
Yeah. If anybody thought they weren't going to be undefeated, it's because they've been known the last several years to drop a game that they shouldn't.
Right.
But from
do a Pitt or a Syracuse thing.
Right. I mean, but no one expected.
From having better talent than everybody in that league, they're a double-digit favorite against everybody.
Right.
I want to hear who he thinks people would have picked to beat Clemson on their schedule. That's that's the part that just
and Clemson. Well, he's doing it to motivate. Is that really how you need to motivate your guys?
I'd take offense if I was one of his players. Right. Do you really think I'm this dumb?
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
wow. I did
there
not
are different
that.
Ways to, and I like Dabo. I really do, But there are different ways to do that. But hey, you're in the playoff, man. You didn't have to beat anybody to get there.
Right.
You didn't have to beat anybody that Alabama wouldn't have gone undefeated against, Auburn wouldn't have gone undefeated against. Yeah, you didn't have to do that.
So, and it's okay to admit that.
That's fine. Right. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's
you're still in there. It's not like you're going to leave an undefeated Clemson out.
And I don't even mind saying, you know, the ACC is really tougher than people, because you got to stick up for your league a little bit. I don't mind that. But to act like there's some global conspiracy against Clemson.
Don't be over the top.
Not now. You know, you go to the playoff, you kick Ohio State's butt, you kick LSU's butt, you say whatever you want to say.
Right.
You say whatever you want to say. But what going on now, man? It's just I do guess that he's fired up for him to rough up Virginia.
Right.
Which
I'm taking
I think Bronco Mendenhall's a good coach. I don't think they've got a guy that could start for Clemson on their team.
Right.
So I'm going Clemson as well.
I'm laying 29 points.
Yeah, I am too. And, I think that it could potentially spell trouble for Clemson, though. Not because I don't think that they are one of the best teams in the country, because I certainly do. But even last year, I don't think Alabama's schedule was overly difficult. You know, Tua Tagovailoa was sitting most second halves of most games. They get into this game against Oklahoma. That was a pretty tough test, I must admit. But Clemson, they had not faced anybody of the caliber of Clemson last year.
Georgia and Oklahoma were tough games.
Yeah, right? And Georgia was by far the closest, and there was actually some controversy.
Clemson won't even have one of those.
Absolutely, so. And that's really the thing.
Really, Dabo, it doesn't hurt to say that.
Right.
It doesn't hurt anybody to tell the truth.
Well, right. When you haven't really been tested, hit in the mouth.
What Nick Saban would say in those situations, we're worried about us.
Right.
We got to play as well as we can play.
We're playing to a standard.
You know, and go forward with that. And he doesn't Dabo's not Nick. He doesn't have to say the same things that Nick does, but it's not a really good look. And best of luck to him against powerful Virginia team.
Well, I was disappointed that, because I thought Virginia Tech matched up better against Clemson. I don't think either of these teams were going to beat Clemson, but I certainly don't think it would have been quite. I just don't think Virginia at all matches up X's and O's standpoint, talent standpoint, in no way, shape, form, or fashion against Clemson.
He's done a nice job to go 9-3, and also by virtue of being in the ACC, they hadn't, you know, they're three. They did play Notre Dame. They lost 35-20. Their other non-conference games were William & Mary, Old Dominion, and Liberty. Mm-hmm. You know, and
shout out Hugh Freeze.
Yeah.
Then they played an ACC schedule. Lost to Miami. Wrestle with that one. Lost at Louisville. That I think Kentucky rushed for 600 yards
right.
on Louisville Saturday.
Right.
So, you know, that's where they are. So I'm taking Clemson. And so hopefully that'll make Dabo feel better.
Maybe they can get that chip off his shoulder
finally
this week. And then, of course, the last game on the list, the SEC Championship game, which will not have Alabama in it. As disappointed as fans are, is what it is.
LSU won straight up. They
can't,
won the division.
Yep, everybody. Absolutely. Can't really say anything. So LSU started off as a 4-point favorite, but has climbed all the way to 7, which mm-hmm. I thought was an interesting number.
I think that's about right.
I still don't think we know how good Georgia's defense is.
Right.
Am I the only one? I mean,
I agree.
They haven't played as high. You're talking about the Floridas and the Auburns, and you know they've just. I don't think they've played a high-powered offense like LSU. Now, granted, I mean, they haven't played LSU yet, so of course they haven't, but. At the same time, I don't have any comparisons to go by to know just how good this Georgia defense is.
I think LSU makes you keep up. Tua could keep up. You know, a healthy Tua might have been able to do more than that, but Tua could keep up. Jake Fromm not going to be
not with this simpleton offense now.
Not going to keep up.
And I think that them trying to play that shootout style of football, especially with all these guys, they got banged up and suspended. George Pickens, DeAndre Swift, I think he's supposed to play, but he got nicked up.
Gager out or
he is. Yeah, so. I mean, they've had a lot of stuff hit right here at the end.
I can't see them keeping up.
It's going to continue to climb this week. The 7-point line, I think we're getting at a good spot because we'd be laying more points.
Yeah, because I assume we're all taking LSU.
Yes,
absolutely.
Taking LSU.
So, absolutely.
I certainly am.
All right, so that's going to do it. You know, this is the first time we've been picking a game this season.
We'll be back. really briefly on what Alabama's bowl possibilities are. First of all, they do hinge on this game. Georgia right. could hypothetically win this game.
And that bodes well for Alabama.
That would probably move them up a notch.
To the sugar.
Right now, Florida. I think Florida probably wants to be in the orange. I think the orange would like to have Florida. And Florida is within the picking parameters that they could go to the orange.
I don't think anybody at Alabama wants to go to the orange either.
I think of the cotton, sugar, orange, I think it would be
the last of the choices.
The last, the other two would be a coin flip, right. probably. But if Georgia loses, they'll go to the sugar. I think that's pretty well set. And then if Florida goes to the orange, and then Alabama will either be in the cotton, or if they, don't end up in the final citrus. Analysis and the picks, they'll be in the citrus.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for cotton personally, just because I used to live out there.
That's a reasonable trip. The weather isn't a factor for the game.
Right.
You don't have to worry about it being cold. I mean, Dallas may be cold.
Right.
But don't know who the opponent would be. Might be Memphis. It's going to be it's going to be a very different Alabama. It could be Baylor.
Yeah.
Oklahoma boat races them. It'll be a very different Alabama team, I think.
Very much so.
But those are the kind of the possibilities that are out there. Orlando would be I'd probably not quite ready to go back to Orlando after that. Louisville game. Dallas would be two Dallases in a row.
Right.
Because they open against USC out there next year, so we'll see. It'll all shake out.
Well,
probably because of our collective apathy about the Orange Bowl, that's where it'll be.
Right. I'll not be traveling to that.
I really think Florida just makes perfect sense.
It does, and they would
They'd have fans there. They'd be excited. It should be. They had a good year.
Yeah.
They had a good year. They lost to Georgia and LSU. Two top four teams.
And beat some good teams.
Yeah. And so credit to Dan Mullen. And did it with a quarterback, having to change quarterbacks from Franks to Travis.
Well, at that point, you wonder.
To Emory Jones.
If Georgia gets shellacked, does the Sugar want Georgia again? Just had them. Or is that kind of a contract like they have
to
take?
I think they don't have to. I mean, then Georgia would have to be in a New Year's Day.
Yeah, right. But they could go to cotton and we could go to sugar.
They could, maybe, but
I doubt that, though.
I think the SEC is pretty committed to that runner-up being in the Sugar Bowl.
Okay.
So,
because that's the SEC tie connected bowl.
Right, right.
And it would be, again, dependent on the margin and so forth. It'd be hard to make an argument for Alabama over Georgia.
Right.
At this point.
I agree.
So, okay, and just real quick, Cecil, I wanted to get your thoughts just because I know you weren't on the recap podcast earlier. I've gotten about 20 people asking me about Alabama players playing in the bowl game. And I know you've kind of mentioned, I just wanted to get your thoughts so everybody can hear. Everybody wants to hear your opinion. Hunter, feel free to chime in if you want to. But
well, they're individual decisions.
They are.
I think Nick Saban will respect whatever those individual decisions are. I think there are some guys who probably can't help their draft stock tremendously. Whether this is a factor or not, they were all standing on the sidelines when Tua got hurt and saw that can happen, rarely happens. If I'm Judy Ruggs, you look at that. Devonta could help himself,
right.
I think. Particularly in that situation,
if he and Waddle
are the guys, then that's pretty interesting situation. I think Najee could help him. Najee's helped himself tremendously in the last month.
I think
a bowl game could help him, but that's a personal decision. If he feels differently, that's his decision. I think Jedrick Wills, it's a tough decision. I think Alex Leatherwood could really help himself.
He could, yeah. That's
we'll
one
see.
Xavier McKinney, I don't think he can.
Terrell, I think, it's again, personal decision for all of them. Terrell's had a lot of injuries in his career. He may say, look, I've made it to this point. I'm healthy.
I'll take it where I'm at, yeah.
I'm healthy. I think Raekwon can help himself, but, you know, he's done his 4 years. Anthony Jennings the same. You know, could, I think he could help himself a little bit, but we'll see. And then McKinney and Diggs.
Diggs, certainly.
Could help himself.
Yes, he could.
Game.
Well, and the interesting
But all those guys are on the table, and I'm certainly not going to sit here and say, oh, you've got to play.
If, you know, if any of them decide not to, I will not hold it against them one game. I think if you're a first or really even second round projection right now,
you know, like Bosa last year, problem. If you're a, you know, if you're up at that level,
you'd be dumb to play almost, yeah. Really.
I think the other thing, too.
And same thing, it's not just Alabama. Why would Derrick Brown play for Auburn in there?
Right.
Right.
Why would because of the family season. Because he wants to play for the orange and blue.
He believes in the creed.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm Auburn, granted, you want to get bowl wins. I'm not saying that you go to these games and you don't want to win. But sure. from a, you know, a silver lining perspective, if these guys don't play, it allows you to get the guys that are potentially going to be replacing them next season a chance to prepare all month as the starters, to get live action game reps against a, you know, a good opponent. It could be very beneficial. You know, if Evan Neal, and this is just speculation or hypothetical, if he ends up kicking out to tackle, you know, if Alex Leatherwood decides or Jedrick Wills decides that they don't want to play in this game, you go ahead and kick Evan Neal out to tackle, start getting him some reps and experience there.
Luke Dickerson, the guard, play Dahl Court at center.
That's exactly what me and Brett were talking about this morning, that exact scenario. I think it would be great. You get a leg up or a jump on spring and getting some guys in new spots. It could be beneficial.
People just have to understand, if it's Alabama and Memphis in the Cotton Bowl, just hypothetically, that and you look at it and say, man, Memphis is really doing well. Memphis is great. Look at this. It's not the same.
Right.
Right.
It's not the same team. And that's not an excuse. They put on the jersey. They go out there. They play to win. That's what they have to do. You know, it's another game for Mac. Another game. It's going to be Mac anyway.
Absolutely. Right? Almost, exactly,
you
know,
Tua,
yeah.
Tua doesn't have that decision. He's got other decisions. But he doesn't have that decision. And if not, you know, you see what Brian Robinson can do. You see what it's like with, like I said, Devonta's one that I really think might play and could really help.
I think you raise a great point with him being, I have a chance to be, you know, he's been used and targeted a lot, but a lot of that, you know, people have said, it's due to the fact that the way this defense is scheming to take away Ruggs and Judy. This gives him a chance to be the featured guy and have teams scheming against him and Jalen Waddle and see what he could do as a number one or number two.
Him, Waddle, Mechie, Shavers, I'd be interested to
Slade
see
Bolden
that.
A little bit.
Bolden a little bit. I'd be interested to see that.
Definitely.
And, you know, you might get the defensive line. I don't know where LeBrien will be.
Right.
That'll be interesting.
But if, you know, all of a sudden your defensive line, say Raekwon says he will play, and you've got DJ Dale, Christian Barmore, LeBrien Ray, if he can make it back, because it doesn't affect his redshirt status, you know, and see what those guys can do. More games for those linebackers who need more games.
Need reps, yeah.
Need reps. I don't know what you'd do. I guess you'd go avoid being and
Byron Young,
maybe on the ends, and see what you do. There'd be some good players out there. It'd be interesting. The other team will make every field goal, and you'll move forward.
Well, I certainly don't think that people. I'm not going to tell people how they should or shouldn't feel.
Oh, I will.
But I don't. Me personally, I don't think you should hold against any Alabama player that chooses to sit
out
this
game. Shouldn't. I'll go on record and say no. You definitely shouldn't. People who feel like that way are window lickers.
There's a lot of people that sent me texts that are probably listening to this, being like, "Oh crap," because they have
first round guys. Let's say for first round guys, just and you debate seconds or third. How many of those people out there say, "Man, you got to play for Alabama"? You stack that $3 million on the table. They're going to walk. They're going to get up and say, nah. I'd rather go and do something for
you. Exactly.
Exactly. It's easy to say it when you ain't got to, you know.
When it's not your $3 million.
Right. Right. Very easy.
Right.
Yeah. So, all right. I just wanted to get your thoughts. I'm glad we were able to get that down on the pod. We appreciate you guys listening in once again. Like always, we'll continue to be back next week, and we'll be talking a little bit about where Alabama ends up for their bowl game and a couple other things. So stay tuned for that. A lot more basketball pods, of course, coming in the near future. So
coming this week. Be sure and tune in.
Absolutely.
Connor and I discuss the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Considering I don't know nearly as much about basketball, that's by far the one I enjoy listening to, even though I get to be here and listen to it live. I always go back and listen as well. All right, so like I said, I appreciate you guys tuning in. This has been the Bama Beat Podcast, brought to you by Zaxby's and Wickles.